Did you know on average you have around 70,000 thoughts in a day? And oftentimes, these are the same 3 to 4 thoughts repeating over and over again. When I heard that today from our guest, I was mind blown, and it made so much sense. Confronting your thoughts and not always believing what you think, now that can be hard, and it may even sound contradictory, like it did to me at first. Still, our guest today demonstrates while being confrontational with your emotions can be groundbreaking to mastering not only the emotions, but our businesses too. Jessie May is the incredible founder and leader behind the Heart Rise movement, created to help guide people back to understanding their hearts and empower them to live in their full truth. Her powerful work has drawn in many A-list celebrities and Fortune 500 companies. But today we are so lucky because she is here to provide the insights and the tangible tools to get us out of our heads and into our hearts. And she helps us define what the meaning of true success is, which we know can only help us on our journey to our next big move. Hey, I'm Priscilla.
And I'm Lauren.
And you're listening to the Her Next Big Move podcast.
This is a place where we will help you gain clarity on your big goals, break down those limiting beliefs that may be holding you back, and develop a solid strategy for building your dream life and business.
We are going to have vulnerable conversations about building our own business and introduce you to some of the most accomplished businesswomen we know to find out their secrets to success too.
Our goal is to leave you feeling inspired and give you the confidence to make
your next big move.
All right. We're back.
Oh, jinx.
going into today, this guest has never come at a more perfect time than
literally
today.
Yes. We went into this episode a little chaotic. We were having some technical issues. Mm-hmm. There was back-to-back meetings. It was kind of just a busy morning. Mm-hmm. And so immediately when we connected with Jessie May, we instantly felt this sense of ease and calm and just relaxing, I guess, being able to really step into that mm-hmm. energy. And we're so excited to have her on today to just share all of the amazing things she's doing, some amazing tools, resources, and just strategies to be able to tap into that good energy.
Yeah, it's so important. Jessie May, thank you so much for joining us today. We're so excited to have you on the podcast.
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. I just adore you both and what you're bringing, and I believe in it, and I'm here to champion forward female. I mean, that's what it's about, you know, and that's really what I stand for. So it's an honor, and I can't wait to dive in.
Yeah, we're so grateful. I think that it's so interesting how people come into your lives at certain points and like without even understanding like how it all kind of happened and the reasoning behind it and just the beauty that can come from that. I know that you and Lo had gotten connected, and then I just happened to, you know, step into one of y'all's meetings one day, and so much beauty has come from that. I think it's so cool to see that, like, you know, the power of just like community and the power of people coming together and what we all bring to the table. And I think as we've learned your story and still so much to be learned and how you've just entered our lives and provided so much peace has been so beautiful. And we're just so, you know, we're so lucky to have you in our lives.
Oh, well, I'm so grateful. And, you know, I wanted to just add to that piece around, you know, we don't always know why we meet someone, but when we're paying attention, and we'll talk more about it, but there's like a resonance, right? There's like, or the vibes, like I often say the vibes don't lie. You can feel someone's vibe. It's like they're putting out some good vibes or you're like, not so much.
Yeah.
And when we start to really attune to that more than the role they play or said other signifier based on societal, what have you, all the noise, when we just pay attention more to the vibe and the energy and what mm-hmm. someone's bringing, it's amazing how they can play an integral role. And we don't always know what it's for, but to trust that is so beautiful because there's so much more than we can always, you know, that we can uncover when we do.
Yeah, absolutely. The vibes don't lie. Mm-hmm. So good. I mean, ever since we met, I feel like it's been good vibes. And I think mm-hmm. that you're so right that it really is, you know, you start to attract that back of the more you put out, the more of that self-work that you put in, the more good stuff you see on the outside of the reflection. And so I've loved just learning of all of the work that you do. And I would love for you to be able to kind of explain to everyone just a background really of how you got started into this heart work and really what led you to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's a big question, but I'll do my best and we can kind of like stretch into it.
Absolutely.
But I would say I've always been a bit of a brave heart, little warrior, even as a young girl. I mean, I have like, there's like old home videos and my dad would like literally be out there with like the VHS, like with the big, like he was dedicated, you know? So there's like old home videos of me like singing like Madonna, like a virgin at like 8 years old, wearing like goomies up my arms, like total little wild child up at our cottage on the lake, like just screaming it out from the top of my lungs and just so passionate and so in it, you know, and just so dedicated. And so there was this wild free spirit I've always had. And over the years, there's so much more to say about it, but you know, it's definitely led me down a lot of exciting paths and also, you know, a few sort of like, why is this this way? And, you know, really challenging a lot of what seemed to be the way. So I always sort of had this intuitive knowing. I was a big journaler as a little girl, like even starting young, I used to like write in my diary. I'd go home after school and be like, nobody gets it. You know, I felt like I was tapped into something that nobody understood. And I think we've all felt that on some level, like nobody gets it, you know, even as adults, often that's the case, right? Yeah. So I would say that there's always been an intuitive knowing. And over the course of my years and my journey, I mean, I studied communications with a minor in film studies in university. And then from film, I went into photography. From photography, I went into graphic design, which I learned that that was a thing. And I mean, there's so much to say about each chapter, but from graphic design into marketing, had my own clothing line. And then that all led into what I now do, which is with the heart, which to me was always the guiding compass. And I've learned to understand more about it as my journey has evolved. So I can say so much more about it, but that's like a very quick and dirty abbreviation.
Yeah, absolutely. And being able to pivot from your entrepreneurial journey into more of this heart-centered work, I feel like really it all does play together, right? The personal development goes into the business development. And if you don't have that foundation, you really aren't able to build anything solid moving forward. And so how would you say that you went, you made that kind of jump from going from corporate world into kind of discovering that, okay, I can let my inner wild child be expressed in this way. I can help other people do the same. How did you kind of, I guess, first of all, identify that and then secondly, make that transition?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I would say like the concept of reflection and being able to like witness our own lives, I think is so important. So we hear about, you know, even the notion of meditation, and just to preface it, we will get into that. But I was always one of those people who's like, it's nice in theory and I don't really have time for it and I can't stop the busy thoughts. So like good that it works for you, but not for me, kind of just to contextualize. I was not someone who was an obvious, let's slow it down and tune in. I was moving and shaking and out there in the world and traveling and, you know, creating things and loving all of that. But there was this deeper awareness. And when I'd have moments, for example, with music or with people I loved or being in nature, that we'd have those kind of reconnect moments. So there was some thread that was always sort of like reminding me and bringing me back. And when I got more into understanding and studying, I actually had switched gears. It was 2008 and I switched gears into coaching, which kind of had always been there in the background. Like I've always been a mentor, big sister, you know, support. Like I'm the eldest of four. I've like championed so many of the dreams of like peers and friends. And, you know, even going back to old diaries and being coming home after like a night out and like having all these inspirational conversations, like igniting someone's dream to take off and do this and that, and like full on creative entrepreneurial spirit energy, which I loved. And recognizing that there was more to that and starting to study it and really understand it and sort of distill it got me into coaching. And what I realized through the coach work, that the coaching, which was fascinating, was that most people, especially creatives and very people that are very busy minded, tend to have a block around the heart. And we have access to, like, we know it in those moments, but we also can really hold a lot inside. So I really became curious about understanding how to access that natural creative flow that lives, I believe, is inherent and innate in all of us, that intuitive wisdom, that kind of driving force, and how to harness it, how to really tap into it and get the head to work with the heart. So for me, and that's kind of how the practice that I facilitate now and the work that I do, is infused with that, because it's like how to get out of the head and into the heart and how to really get the two working together. So it's not about dismissing the brilliance of the mind and all of the, you know, expertise and skills and all the things we've learned, that's useful. And when the busy is running the show and we're not accessing our power source, like the energetics, and there's so much more science to it. There's an electromagnetic field. There's a state of coherence that we can cultivate where we feel it, right? You feel that flow state when you're in it versus when you're like trying to make it work or being in force and being in that busy frenetic energy where we're like often, I call it emotional constipation, like when the vibes don't lie, right? So when you're all like tense and not so cute to be around and like, you know, we feel that, right? When I go into corporate, I'll often use that reference of like you see and feel the energy before somebody even opens their mouth, right? So someone can walk into, and it's changed now because a lot of people aren't in like the workplace the way they used to be, but like someone can walk in and right away, if it's a heavy energy, it's like, dah, 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 like he or she's arrived and you feel the whole mood shift, right? And in the same way, some people come in and they light up a room. Like we use that as an example. We actually reference that. So the energy that we take the time to attune to, which the heart really is the kind of engine and compass for, really can, I mean, it empowers you. It's creative. It's fun to be around. It's like all the things.
Yeah, you can definitely feel it.
I think that's so powerful because there's so much to understand about like our own physical like beings and understanding like how to tap into these different aspects. And I think there's so many different sayings out there and things that we hear all of the time of like, trust your gut, follow your heart, like listen to your mind. And like, it's all of these different things, but really understanding like what it all does for you and how you can really like tap in and utilize it all is, I think, sometimes really difficult. And I'll just speak for myself. I find it difficult sometimes to be able to say, like, what do I need to listen to? Like, what is the right like move? Like, what, like, where do I need to be focused in order to feel in that flow state whenever there is maybe so much chaos going on around, you know, like today? I mean, a lot of chaos, and like, sometimes you just have to do and you have to get it done. And maybe it's not, maybe you don't really have to. And maybe that's something we're just telling ourselves. I don't know. I'm curious what you think.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I love that. So contextual for so many, I'm sure, listening, because we do, we get so caught up. I mean, we have on average 70,000 thoughts a day, and most of us are having the same 3 to 4 thoughts. So if we even just pause for a moment to reflect, that's crazy.
That is.
Right? Yeah, that's insanity. I mean, Einstein said the definition of insanity is doing or thinking the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, right? Mm-hmm. So clearly that's what that is. We're looping and that's insane. Mm-hmm. So when we take a moment to even contemplate that and to recognize one of the concepts that's really like kind of a bit of a mind blower, I remember the first time I heard it, it's like on some level I recognized it and I was like, wow, it's so true, but don't believe everything you think.
Yeah.
And that's confrontational because most people are like, well, of course I'm going to believe everything I think. That's what I think. Those are my beliefs. We don't often question where they come from. You know, yes, obviously a lot of the work that people do and inner work through therapy and various different techniques and methods over the, you know, self-development route, you can uncover some of that. But more often than not, we just get really kind of programmed in our ways.
Yeah.
Often a lot of trauma, pain, things that we've just picked up has sort of settled into our way of thinking without us realizing. So it's not about unpacking all of that necessarily. Yes, that's valuable. And a lot of talk therapy can sometimes get still very heady. And I'm a big advocate for therapy, absolutely. But there's so much inherent wisdom in the body and in the heart, vibrational wisdom that when we can access, and it's interesting you were asking the question about what to listen to. I'm a huge advocate for sound healing in general. And I particularly, I mean, if you enjoy or are curious about meditation, I would say to explore guided ones to begin with, because that can help you. But even just pure sound itself, like oceanic waves, like if I'm even challenged sleeping, I'll often listen to things that are just will reset the frequency, because we are vibrational. So there's a lot of science and technology now that supports and really can quite literally show that it can be a really restorative way to reset your whole system, calm your nervous system, all of the things. I didn't always understand what that was. My greatest indication was my previous dog. Lowe's met Luna, who's super zen. And I feel like my Coco, who was my wild one before, sent me Luna for sure. Because I was one of those people with Coco. I was like, I'd see people in like a mani pet, you know, in the nail salon, and I'd see them with their chill dog. And I'd be like, oh, wouldn't that be nice? Because my Coco was a wild one. She was amazing. And with me, she was calm. But if there were other people around that wanted some of mommy's energy, and I'm very loving and friendly, not so much. So I couldn't take her anywhere. Luna, on the other hand, Lowe's Met is like, it's literally, she literally drapes herself. Like, yeah. I take her to premieres, places where she's not allowed. Like, she comes everywhere, literally. And I say that because with Coco, what I noticed is when I would be leading my sessions with my clients, I would always start with a mini little meditation, just intuitive, getting them to breathe, getting them to slow down and connect to their heart and whatever it was that we were moving through. And I would notice her going from pretty like excited, low-key hyper to like wah, wah, wah. Like my boyfriend at the time was like, you need to put this on YouTube. This would go viral. Like seeing this like hyperactive crazy dog go suddenly into like as if she'd been drugged from the sound of my voice. Ben. And it's vibrational again, yeah. Right? So it's not even so much the what I say or anyone that you feel a resonance with when they're sharing. And this is why voice is so powerful. And again, sound is so powerful. And attuning to that, it's really allowing ourselves to be connected to the vibes, ultimately the vibrational wisdom, because mm-hmm. we have an intuitive sensitivity, a sensibility, and a capacity to understand and feel so much more than our busy, that 70,000 like spin cycle that's like, can't slow it down. Well, it takes time to connect, which is why sound can really help. And the practice that I've developed and just plugging into the heart, and oftentimes people don't even necessarily, they'll tell me that they're not even hearing the words, but they're just attuning to my voice because it, for those that I work with over time, it becomes like a familiar sound that just relaxes them just by virtue, which is why certain songs you hear or certain sounds or certain people even mm-hmm. hearing their voice, right? They'll leave a message. Lo knows too. I'm like audio nut. Like I always leave audios. That's just how I roll. And it's like, it's an easy way to just communicate with people. And it's, you feel someone so much more. So there's something about sound and there's something about taking the time, and it doesn't have to be a lot. So for those that are finding themselves too busy minded, to know deep down, and we all know this, that you can be so much more effective and so much more powerful and so much more aligned with what's true for you when you're coming from that deeply rooted place. So sometimes it's like, oh, I'll deal with it later. I don't have time, right? For the self-care, for the workout, for the this, the that. The beauty is connecting to the heart and connecting to that vibrational resonant field doesn't take a lot. It just takes a bit of consistent practice. So it can be as simple as a few breaths first thing in the morning when you wake up and listening to 2 to 3 minutes of someone or something that really kind of just brings you back to a sensation of that calm within. So it does help to have had an experience. So I'll often tell people if they've come to, let's say, a workshop, to then follow it up with a daily just plug in or to maybe it's for some people like the ocean. I mean, I find the ocean very easeful, right? So if that's something that you've had really calming, beautiful experiences with, then you can tune into that. There's different little tools, but it doesn't have to be. I think a lot of people get overwhelmed by meditation or some of these practices where it's like, oh, it's too much. I don't have time for it, or I can't, you know, or I have too many things going on and it'll have to wait. But if we can start to just micro implement some of these little tools, it's amazing what's possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Being able to habit stack, I think, some of those like practices into a routine or a practice you already have going too has really helped totally. Me. When I first started meditating, it was really hard for me to quiet my mind, really hard for me to just sit there. And I felt kind of like a failure at it every time I did it, because I was like, oof, every time I sit here and try to quiet my mind gets louder. And I think so many people go through that practice and then they bring that kind of chaos into their day. So on top of the breathing and the meditation, are there any other like instant tools that you would give somebody that can kind of flip that switch of their energy and start to dive into maybe more of those practices that they can add in?
Yeah, definitely. And I can unpack a little more of the method itself, because what I found was very much of what you were just saying, that it was difficult to like slow that kind of like nonstop train of thinking.
Yeah.
Even though in theory, I like the idea. I mean, and I'd hear all these references like, watch your thoughts like passing clouds in the sky. And it's like, okay, in theory, that sounds lovely, but like, let's be honest, like it's not going to work.
It takes practice. It does take practice
and it is possible. Yeah. And what I've found is anchoring, and this is why I'm so passionate about the heart, but quite literally physiologically, and I'll speak to it and then we can even just do a mini if you guys want, like 20 seconds, you'll see just how quickly we can reset. But just by bringing hands to the heart and the four steps, and this is what I identified when my little Coco Loco, it's one of my comedian friends called her, like she was Coco, but Loco came on as like the perfect, because she was a little bit of a nutter. She was amazing. Okay, so basically what I've identified is there's four critical steps that get you out of your head and into your heart and back to that vibrational resonance, right? So the first step, as with any meditation practice, is you want to be the witness of your thoughts, right? So you want to start to be able to see, okay, I'm having that thought again. So let's just, to be practical, everyone take a moment to consider what's a thought that's like just eating you up and that comes in all the time and it's just taking up a lot of space, right? Parked there. We all have those thoughts, right? 3 to 4 of those crazy ones that are constantly taking our attention and energy. So what is that thought? So you observe it. Okay, I see that it's happening, and we will do this in a moment, but just breathing, connecting to your heart, witnessing. Okay, there it is. It's happening again. When you breathe with it, then you want to move into feeling what's there. So the first notion is with heart vision, I see, so you're witnessing. Then you're moving into with heart focus, I feel. So this takes some practice because initially, especially if we're used to holding a lot, bottling a lot, just keeping it all together, like I got this. Newsflash, nobody's got this. We're all doing the best we can. And the more we can acknowledge our pain and what we're going through, the more powerful we can be and the more collaborative and all the good things. So feeling what's there is helpful. Feelings are fuel. They're not scary. They're only dangerous if we stockpile them and hold them all inside. Then we erupt in not cute ways, and it can also be really dangerous. So feeling is the second step. The third step is with heart knowing, I free. We're releasing. So with heart knowing, I free, you're actually alchemizing the feeling. So for example, if you were feeling fear, or if you were feeling anxious, or you were feeling sad, you let yourself breathe into it, and with intention and with heart, you release it. And this doesn't necessarily happen in the moment, but with doing a few cycles of it and practice, it becomes easier so that you don't sit in the feeling. Because oftentimes we're so afraid to feel the feeling because we don't want to get stuck in it. And or we just want to like avoid it altogether and deal with it later, but that the stockpile has toxic damaging effects, right? So freeing is the third step. And then the fourth step is with heart wisdom, I flow. And you come back to that current that connects us, right? Intuitive flow. Athletes describe being in flow state. You know, it's really when you're super present, you're most powerful when you're in flow. When you're holding a lot and you're just looping and you're busy, you're missing a lot of what's available to you intuitively. Like you're missing the cues. You're maybe missing that person or that sign or that little pattern that you might have caught if you were present to it. Yeah. So when you're in flow, so something like, for example, fear, you might release it and arrive at inspiration or curiosity or excitement. So you can reframe or taking judgment. Once you move it through, it's like, oh, I'm totally being judgy. You observe, okay, why do I feel small? I'm being judgmental. You feel some of maybe like the hardness or the anxiety or whatever you might be feeling in that moment. Be honest with yourself. You free it. You come back to flow, where you might have compassion for a situation you might have judged, including being hard on ourselves. So with practice, those four steps. So it's witnessing. So seeing, feeling. So letting yourself feel. Freeing, so you release it, and then the last step is flow, and you come back to this flow, and it's really rhythmic and it's intuitive. I mean, if you think of young children, when they have a situation arise, like let's just imagine kids like at preschool, right? So like, you know, Bobby takes Susie's toy, okay, and like Susie has a tantrum. So in that moment, Susie might be all joyful, and then she has her little tantrum and she has all of her big feelings. And then the next thing you know, she releases them, and but like literally within maybe 2 minutes, she's giggling again, right? They don't sit and stew. Like for us, it's like you get that email in the morning, oh my God, and then you're calling and you're texting and you're emailing and like, can you believe, da da da. The whole day gets turned into like a full monsoon over something that had you just acknowledged you know, I was really disappointed, or that really like upset me, or that really made me angry, and like move through it, get it out, and then you come back to flow and be more resolution oriented, more solution oriented, more expansive in how to deal with it versus letting that thing totally occupy you and preoccupy you and obsess. Like, we become so obsessed with the things that don't serve us and we waste our energy. So those are simply the four steps, and it's super practical, which is, I think, why a lot of us busy-minded folk that struggle with meditation have responded to the practice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like it's one of those things that's like, you don't know what you don't know, right? And sometimes we don't even know that we're doing this to ourselves, that we're sabotaging ourselves by holding on to these negative thoughts that are not serving us. Mm-hmm. And being able to zoom out to being the identifier of that thought, right? Like being able to really separate the emotion versus the ration and being able to process that is an advanced but simple technique that anybody can do and apply.
Yeah, 100%. I, you know, working with so many different entrepreneurs and women who are starting businesses, I think it is one of the hardest things that I see so many women struggling with. And so many people just in business in general, it's a struggle sometimes to be, to take, try to take the emotion out and not get emotional about things and just be, you know, reactionary and to things that are just happening to you all throughout the day. Because in business, we know that there's so many different things that we just wouldn't plan, or we wouldn't expect to happen, or we wouldn't, to where it wasn't in our day or it wasn't in our calendar to be able to say, I didn't know how to, like, I wasn't planning on that. So then it just threw off everything, like you were saying, like maybe getting that email in the morning that just threw off everything, and being able to know that, like, in business, you can have these type of practices that can not only help you, but in turn, it really helps your business too.
Yeah.
100%. And I will say that just to take that extra minute or 2 minutes to go through the cycle and just connect with, so whatever the reactivity is, whatever the emotion is, rather than saving it for later when you like come home to your partner, or like you take it out over cocktails with friends and then you wake up the next day feeling crappy or about it, whatever it is, in the way that we don't deal with it in the moment, we deal with it so much more later on. And the, you know, the amplified effect of how toxic it can be is very, I mean, there's a lot to document, and there's actual evidence that leads to us. I mean, we know this, right? So the more we can really become, it's really emotional mastery and letting the feelings be felt, and then they pass through, right? So the more we practice, you can actually build emotional resilience and courage. And to your point, I love what you just said too, Priscilla, about like that you can have so much more clarity, because I work with a lot of creatives, a lot of entrepreneurs. I've helped start up and build many companies and worked in big organizations from, you know, Amazon to Uber. Like, I've worked with big brands, Free People, you know, worked with teams, and I've seen, you know, when we come back to the basic unit of us and our heart, when we take care of ourselves, like one person connected, like free as in expansive and ignited, is unstoppable. I mean, I moved to LA with a tourist visa from Montreal. I'm Canadian. A few things, I mean, it hasn't come up, but when I say out and about, or I drop the occasional A, which is very Canadian. And, but what to share that being here and coming here and creating what I've done and been, you know, being able to do that, it was in all, it full credit to my heart and my courage and knowing and having that passion, which you both so clearly do, you know. And it's amazing when we move that. I had all that gusto, and it's like, I say to Lo often, it's like, I feel like you're such a sister, because it's like, I see so much of me in you and in you both. Like, you both have such complementary strengths, and it's so gorgeous to watch what you're creating and what you're building. And it's like, and I wish I had some of what, I mean, it's now why I dedicate my work, my literally my life to this work, but to see what's possible when we have all that passion and purpose, and we have extra support with some of these tools and resources to get back there on the regular. Like, we can actually like make it intentional and plug in purposefully on the regular, on the daily, on the hour sometimes, you know, just as needed. Yeah. And then to know that it gives us clarity, it gives us access to our creative potential, to, you know, co-creative energy when we're working with teams. You know, how many meetings does it take to get to a decision because nobody's listening to each other, or people are talking over and not really in that frequency of collaborative synergy, collective wisdom. When you're in that heart field, that frequency, it's amazing what can evolve in a really amplified, accelerated way because it's aligned.
What do you see is the thing that people are guarding most when it comes to their heart?
Oh, such a great question. The fear of being alone or being seen, you know, it's the irony because, you know, we all are so busy filtering and presenting and putting out there, you know, the way we want to appear to the world. And yet the greatest thing that we long for is to be seen, is to be held, is to be appreciated, is to be acknowledged. Yeah. It's the simplest of things, you know, it's so wild because I'm back in the part of LA in Venice where I was and some of the usual suspects, one in particular. And he's such a darling and he's been the mailman in the neighborhood for like more than a decade. Okay. And I'm back in the hood and it's like, I was one of those people who knew Brian and he knew my wild Coco, by the way. So bringing Coco back and Luna, cause he's like, oh, he was so scared of Coco. Cause she would have like, and he was 4'8". I mean, the cutest thing, but like quiet. And I got to know Brian and like, I always took a moment to chat with him and connect with him. And it's like, again, recognizing, coming back to your question, it's like, and now being back in the hood, I mean, he's hollering it out from the mountaintops. He's like, Jessie Mae's back and Luna. And he's like, loves Luna. Now every time he sees her, he does like a dance because she's so friendly and the other one was like going to eat him. And anyway, all to say, Brian feels seen, was seen, and is such a beautiful human. Mm. And it's taking those moments to recognize, first of all, we all feel alone in moments and often, you know, it's loneliness is a far greater pandemic, and that has been said, and it's not, you know, the first time we're hearing it. But if I can say how much I see it in the inner worlds of so many, and I work with people at a very executive level, business owners, I've worked with war vets, people in recovery, celebrities. It doesn't matter what the outside exterior is. We all feel alone more often than not. Mm-hmm. And so in getting honest, which is why words like vulnerability are buzzwords now, and they're very real and it's important. When we get honest about our pain, we can get honest about our healing, and then we can cultivate our power. So it's not about sitting in the sob story and getting all caught up in it, because a lot of people are apprehensive about that, but it's more about doing the emotional work to just reconcile and recognize what we're feeling. There are powerful tools to reflect and recognize the root of some of that, and I'm not dismissing any of that important work. I will say, though, that just by getting honest in the moment about what we're experiencing and having people surround us that can hold us, even if we do have to have a little mini breakdown, those experiences become a lot easier to have. So you're not going to have, like, a lot of people, and to your question again, are afraid to feel because they're unaware of just how intense, or they know there's a lot that they haven't metabolized. So they're like, I don't want to open the floodgates. Like, it's going to be intense, right? And people have that genuine feeling. And so when we can really have these healthy, helpful practices that are more related to the heart and the body, it's amazing what we can do to like really get more comfortable feeling them and recognizing that we're so connected. You know, I love to say we all know each other by heart. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like not buying into someone's like facade or how they're appearing to be and really seeing them. I think that's why when I work with celebs, they're just like, oh, she sees me. I'm not buying the hype. Mm-hmm. I'm the same way I am with like somebody who's an A-lister as I am with Brian. And that's mm-hmm. people know that about me. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not impressed with your title or your, you know, prestige or your fame, because what is that anyway? I've worked with a lot of those people who feel more alone than the rest of us. So when we connect to that and we remember who we are, we're unstoppable. And I know that we all long for that. So it's really about being held, being seen. Mm. And I'd say that's what most people struggle with.
Oh, so beautiful.
And with that, I'll add one thing about the worthiness, because I think they go hand in hand, mm-hmm. hand in heart. So we feel alone in our unworthiness because we're not, like, they go literally together. So the more we can acknowledge each other's pain, it's like, oh, wow. And then we can see the value of who we are because we start to get more real with ourselves. So they kind of go together. And, you know, this performative behavior that we learn as a young age, like, we're validated because we did something right. And therefore we keep going in that direction. And then we see how that directs our behavior, right? Mm-hmm. And then when we're not behaving that way, we feel alone. But if we're behaving that way, it's not true to us. So we don't feel worthy, you know? So it's all very interconnected. So the more honest we can be, mm-hmm. the more powerful we are and the more we start to really recognize each other in that real place.
Yeah, so beautiful. And truly that is personal power and emotional power and mastery, like you said, of being able to acknowledge it and unpack it, right? We walk around with these heavy suitcases because we just pack on the emotion and the issues and the childhood traumas and everything we've gone through. And I think it takes a lot of... Actually, I don't think it takes – it does take a lot of awareness, but it takes sometimes holding space for yourself or having somebody hold space for you to allow you to pack it. And whether that looks like just talking to a friend or therapy or journaling or, you know, talking it out to yourself in like a talk diary, whatever that looks like for you, but being able to unpack it, that's how we all like release some of this pain and we don't walk around so hurt. Mm-hmm. And I think that the work that you do is so beautiful because you truly hold space for people to unpack those feelings, to get in touch with their emotions and to really align. So they are in their flow. They are on that kind of next level that they want to be, that highest version of themselves, if you will.
Yeah. I think it's like interesting to me too of like, because you had said something of right, like the celebrities, maybe the people that have been like the most successful in their careers or the most successful in their businesses are the most lonely. And so it begs this question of like, what does it take to be successful really? And what is success really? As like you have worked with, you know, people at, you know, at all of these different levels, I would be curious to know your definition of it and what you see the most successful people in your own definition.
I really love having this question so much. And I wanted to like pull up a passage. It's so interesting, but I'll just speak from my heart. But I, in my book, I wrote a whole piece about success because success is more a knowing than a having. And we've been so programmed to think of it as like getting somewhere, right? Like we have this destination addiction. Like when I get there, then I'll be successful. Or when I get there, then this. Right. And it's like the this, then there, forget about it. Like, let's just like flesh that out with anything. Like that's, so success is more a state of being than doing. It's really more of a knowing than a having. And it's, again, aligning with that force field within us, that powerful presence. Because presence is power. When you're with someone, you can, and the way, if this seems esoteric, it's like, just pay attention the next time you're having a conversation. One of my dearest who I love is like a soul sister. She often says like, you know, nobody's home, you know, and you can tell when you're talking to someone and they're checked out, right? Yeah. We've all had those experiences. So really that's presence. When someone is really with you, they're listening, you feel their attention, you feel their curiosity, their intent. Just being with you versus like oftentimes it's like they're still in their head, even if it seems like they're paying attention because they're just waiting again for what to say or like jumping in with a relational story or just going to interrupt you with their ideas or what they think. So the presence piece is so important. And so coming back to the success, to me, what I really believe and what I've seen is when we can cultivate a sense of presence within ourselves, where we really feel at home in who we are, where we can dare to be true to all that we are and show up in the world that way and be held in that way, that to me is the epitome of success. Because when we're in that, it usually also implies that we've got healthy relationships, that we're infused with a lot of good things. Because when we're in our knowing and we're present to our lives, usually it means that we're lit up by all of the dynamics that we have, what we're surrounded by. So I would say that the presence and the knowing, which is really more of a sense, like it's a sensitivity, it's an awareness, it's a feeling, it's something we experience versus something we get and can measure in a bank account. Like all of that is that comes from like, yes, the abundance comes and the love of our lives come and the kids and whatever other dreams you may have, the, you know, having homes all over the world, like all of the stuff that might, that success may provide or whatever that might look like for you will come from a deeper knowing and a deeper sense of real just acknowledgement of who you are and being present to that.
Yeah, so beautiful. That's almost like the result of it, not the destination of where you're trying to get to.
Yeah. Exactly. It's an aliveness. It's more a frequency than it is a something. Right. It's a being than a doing.
Yeah. Beautiful definition.
Yeah. And something I think that is so freeing too, right? Mm-hmm. I think what I see is that so many people are so frustrated by not have gotten the thing yet or not having, you know, achieved, you know, a certain level in their bank mm-hmm. account or, you know, getting really held up by that and then really letting that just stop them because they get into this space of defeat and mm-hmm. which is, you know, the complete opposite of power. And so being able to say, no, like, let's not start there. Let's start from this space. And you can already have that power that then will, you know, turn into, you know, all of these other beautiful things that you might not even be able to articulate today.
That's right. And I love that the way you describe that, because oftentimes it doesn't look like what you think it might, right? Based on the conditioned ideas of success that we've been fed and indoctrinated with for so long, when we cultivate instead a sense of knowing and presence and power from within, we know what feels right. And then to your point, it's more about being comfortable in what seems to be the unknown, but actually there's so much knowing in that. Mm-hmm. So it's like starting to get really comfortable in the uncertain, because we all saw with what we lived through with COVID, I mean, nothing is certain anyway, right? I mean, things can change on a dime. And that's true in the most beautiful way as well. If we just recognize that every moment we can begin again, there's an opportunity for mad, wild, juicy expansion and for us to really connect with the people, the opportunities, the experiences that are right here for us. So the more present we are to them and the more connected to that frequency we are, the more we can see them and the more they become clear as we go, as we flow. And it's a really beautiful way to live. It's not about not holding vision for ourselves, absolutely, but it's staying tuned into what's true for us in each moment, because we're constantly growing and evolving. And what I've seen the most where people feel unhappy or challenged is they set certain targets and goals, and then halfway down the road, they're like, wait a minute, this doesn't actually feel like what I really wanted. And then wait, now, right? So it's like holding those visionary aspirations for ourselves, but also giving enough room for our human experience and to let presence be the guiding pulse along the way.
Yeah, 100%. So beautiful. And I think that you've dropped so many great knowledge nuggets along the way and so many great just resources I think people can really take and adapt. And so I would love to end this session with a mini session with you.
Could
be a great tool that people could add into their toolkit. And I'm excited to go through it well. But I would love to kind of just walk through that exercise with you. And if you could break it down of how people could really apply it and do it on their own too.
Yeah. As we do it.
Absolutely. And I will offer listeners too, and we can drop in the notes. I have one that I call for ease and flow, and it's patience. It's 8 minutes. It's not long, but we'll do a shorter one now, but it takes you through those four steps so that anytime, if it's before a big meeting or even transitioning like from your day into evening or starting your day off and people will use it, or if you're about to make a big presentation and you just want to be in that resonant field, it can really help. So again, I'll say what the four steps are, and then we'll have a little mini practice of it. So the first step is, with heart vision, I see. That's again, calling in the light of awareness, right? Mm-hmm. So we're getting to witness the thought. And for anyone who wants to take this further and you want to do more writing, as I mentioned earlier, we have three or four of the same looping thoughts to compose those 70,000 thoughts, right? When we're really in that insane frequency, which is where a lot of people reside. So what are those go-to thoughts? So just as a good practical, just what are those thoughts that you tend to go to, so that by just, again, bringing attention, by even writing them down, when they come up, you'll be like, oh, there it is. And then you can go into this practice. So with heart vision, I see. And you can use this for things you want to release and let go of. And you can also do it for things you want to call in. So let's say you're wanting to call in love, or you're wanting to call in more support for your business, or more creative inspiration for what you're putting out in the world, or whatever that may be. It's amazing what you can do to call that into. So the first step is witnessing. The second step is to feel. So with heart focus, I feel. So, and I'll guide us through. So you're going to just let yourself feel what comes up. It does really help to have hands on heart, because then it really connects us in a way that allows you to reconcile and recognize. And at first it may seem like that's not available to you, or you're not fully able to check in with what those feelings are. That's okay. And then the third step will be to free, to release. And we'll go through that and just really letting it be alchemized. And then the fourth step will be with heart wisdom, I flow. So you arrive back at this really smooth current that is vibrational and will become familiar to you. If this resonates and you want to practice on the regular, you'll be able to say, okay, I'm back in flow, versus when you're not. And you want to be in flow when you're making big decisions, when you're, you know, meeting up with someone, whatever it is. So let's practice. So if you want to bring one or both hands to your heart, and just take a moment now, if you're able to close your eyes, we're going to do a clearing to create space. So allow yourself here just to breathe in and witness anything at all that you're holding on to or that's taking up a lot of brain space that you'd like to release. Anything that's just been causing busy mindedness or any stress, anything that's just really in your orbit and in your space, something you want to let go of. Just see it here as you breathe, as you become aware, cultivating heart vision and presence, as you see what's here. Just notice that thought that keeps coming in, that thing that's taking up a lot of space, and just see it. Just by shining the light of awareness already, you empower the potential to shift it. So as you breathe now with heart focus, attuning here, and let yourself feel whatever comes up as you see this thing, as you see this thought, just see if you can tune in and breathe as you feel what is arising here within you. What feelings can you sense? Is there frustration? Is there sadness or fear? Just let yourself be present to that which you're holding. Just giving yourself the space. Your feelings are fuel. And as we feel through, we heal through. As you move the energy, you can repurpose it. So feeling whatever is here, just allowing it. Breathing. And with heart knowing, as you build heart strength, freeing now with your breath. So imagine your breath releasing, alchemizing. If it helps to imagine a heart fire within as you free and alchemize all that you've been holding. Like those flames, imagine that beautiful freedom dancing within you as you release all that you've been holding, alchemizing it, repurposing it, breathing. Availing yourself to this heart wisdom now as you flow, breathing with that flow, that natural guiding flow that is wise and intuitive. Powerful and present. Breathe with it now as you attune and connect to the heart of who you are, knowing that everything is here for you. And each time you come home here, you remember, you build strength, and you attune to the power and all that you're here to bring forth. So bringing this presence into the moment as we gently open our eyes, just noticing how you feel and bringing that presence into all that you move into for the rest of your day.
Wow.
So
what
good.
Energy shift of from when we first started this podcast to how we are ending it. Wow. I am forever grateful. I feel like that is such a beautiful gift, and you truly hold just such beautiful space and just your energy and aura, even just hearing your voice and like you were saying, the frequency, like it's so peaceful. And I feel like I'm in a totally different state, at least I'll speak for myself. I feel so different from when we first started this.
Yeah.
And so I think that is such a perfect example of anybody can apply this at any point in time. If you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling stressed, if you're feeling XYZ, you can shift that energy. You can shift to a higher frequency, and tapping into your heart and really walking through these four steps is such a beautiful and easy way to do it. It's easy enough that you can apply it at any point in time throughout the day.
It's accessible.
Yeah, accessible.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Oh, we love you and appreciate
you. Such a pleasure. I love you. And I'm so excited and grateful to support all of your, what you're building and creating. And, you know, the heart is such an important resource for anyone listening. Just know that you've got everything within you and you're in great hands and being held by these two if they're supporting you. And I'm excited to be a part of just, we need each other. You know, if there's like parting words, it's like we all need each other and it's okay to ask for help and remember that you're never alone. And, you know, we're so much stronger together. So I'm grateful.
Absolutely. Beautiful. Such a beautiful way to end it.
Yes.
Hope that you all take this information and know that you are worthy of it and that we love you so deeply.
Yes. And we will link all of Jessie Mae's information as well in the show notes. If you guys want to go deeper, work with her more intensely, she has some amazing practices too that she will be sharing. So we'll link everything. So you can have access.
Absolutely. Until next time.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
That concludes this episode of Her Next Big Move podcast.
Everything that we discussed in today's episode and for more information on Forward Female can be found in the show notes below and on our website, forwardfemale.com.
We want to thank everyone who helped this episode come together and you for tuning in.
If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to hit subscribe, leave us a review, and come hang out with us on our socials.